Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm back. I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for June 12, 2012, episode 422. This episode today is brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, horse people.
Good Tuesday morning to you, and I do mean a good Tuesday morning.
Well, if you insist on being accurate about it.
Somebody with perfect comedic timing could produce this much energy in one shot.
You gotta learn that your time in the saddle ain't as rough as the life in between. And the fence isn't there for you to straddle. And you can't change horses in the middle of your dream.
Well, I hope I remember how to do this, Glenn. It's been so long since I've had to actually talk to this microphone here and talk to you. I hope I don't screw up.
Well, thank God you're back. Now I can sit back. I can take the morning off. I can just listen to you talk. It'll be like old times.
Oh, yeah. That's just like it's going to be. No. No, I'm tired. I'm still jet lagged. I'm worthless today. You should ask me about my vacation tomorrow when I can put it all together.
No, I allowed it. You know how we said that you only really get 15 minutes when you come home to tell a family about vacation? I gave you a whole half an hour. So I figured we could get it all out of the way this morning. All the listeners are dying to hear what happened and about you riding all these fancy horses on the beach and all that stuff. And then I want to hear about castles, and then we'll go on. And then you'll be like back in the drudgery of it all again.
Oh, my gosh. I don't think that you can wipe the smile off my face in 30 minutes, okay? It was just absolutely awesome. So we will definitely get to it. And please tell me when I start to bore you guys, because, you know, it's one thing to go on a vacation and be bubbling about it and be so excited, and then it's another thing to, like, have somebody tell you about their vacation, and you're like,
yeah,
please shut up. So if it gets to the point where you're like, oh, okay, please shut up, just, like, you know, tell me to shut up.
All right, I'll tell you what, we'll have a code. We'll have a signal. When you start to get boring, I'll do this.
Move along. I like it. Yes. Okay. We'll do
that. I mean, next topic,
well,
please.
Exactly. Next story. Keep going. Who's our first guest? Gotcha. Well, let's find out from Jennifer what is on today's show in the way of guests, and then I've got some Winnies.
On today's Omega Alpha Tuesday Monday edition, Horses in the Morning is whole again, now that Jamie has returned and her vacation visa run out. So predictably, aww, Jamie will be provoking envious emotions with endless tales of Jamie's ultimate equestrian European vacation. Watch for the full-length film premiering Christmas 2012. Stay tuned for the hoopla, horse people.
I want to make a movie. I could go back and get some more video. That'd be fine.
Hey, I changed my mind. I do have a daily Winnie.
Okay.
My daily Winnie goes out to the poor nudists who are on the nude beach in Spain who had to split up with you taking pictures of them and then sending them to me.
What's really funny about that, Glenn, what he's talking about, Jennifer, is that when I was riding horses on the
anyway,
beach,
I want to know about you sending my husband naked pictures.
Oh, go ahead and forward it to him. Actually, you can post it on our Facebook page because it really doesn't show anything. But what's really funny about this, Glenn, is we were on this beach in the Donanya National Park, okay? It's where Darley filmed her video of riding horses on the beach and through the dunes. And there's not a soul on this beach. You are at the end of the world, and you are all by yourself, just you and your friends on their horses. All you can hear is the breathing of your horse and the crashing of the waves. And we're cantering down the beach, and I look to my right, and there is one guy on the beach. One guy on the whole entire thing, and he is buck naked. I mean naked.
Darley didn't show that in her video.
No, she did not. She avoided that one. And let me just tell you that this is not the kind of man you want to see naked. Just not. Chad is he was so mad I even took the picture. He's like, no, don't, just stop it, stop it, stop it. But I had to. I said, I have to give it to Glenn. So you can post it on the page, I think. What do you think, Glenn?
Well, let's just say, no, it would probably scare people away. And not because of anything other than it's a very fuzzy picture of what looks like a naked old guy. Bent over.
White hair and all. I did zoom in, and I thought it was pretty good that I got that with my iPhone from so far away.
You know, I invited Chad to come on the show tomorrow and tell me really what happened on the whole trip. You know that, don't you? He gets a half an hour tomorrow.
I'm sure he's busy.
All right, your turn.
Okay. All right, well, I have a lot of catching up to do. First of all, my first Daily Winnie, and you don't have to play it because I have like 15. Co-hosts who helped out filling in, taking care of you, Glenn, holding your hand through all the shows. We got Lisa Wysocki, Tammy Saron, Samantha Clark, Reese Stanfield, Debbie Laux, Michelle Anderson, Michael Richardson, Frankie Lovato, all you guys, hats off to you. Thank you very much for stepping up and taking care of Glenn. Jennifer, I know you were also a co-host for one day, too, so thank you very, very much. Now play it again.
Oh, okay.
Okay, the rest of my Daily Winnies go to Union Rags for winning to Belmont, Clayton Fredericks for winning Renswald this past weekend, Zara Phillips, who is under immense amount of pressure and has made the Olympic team, which we're going to talk about a little bit later, William Fox Pitt, who won Bramham, and I found the most awesome picture of William Fox Pitt. I sent it to Jennifer, so maybe she'll post it, but also to I'll have another and all of his people doing the right thing. He had a little bit of tendonitis. Running that race would have made it worse, and they pulled him out. Sad that we didn't have a Triple Crown winner, but I'm very happy for all of another and all his connections, and I'm totally proud of them. So thank you very much. And that was all of the rest of them.
Well, thank you, Jamie. And I do have some sound here. You know, we weren't here yesterday, so I have some sound play. We spent all those weeks talking about the Triple Crown. I picked the winner of all the races this year. I'll have you know, because on Friday I picked Union Rags as well. So let's just take a quick look.
And we are ready for the start. They're off, and the Belmont Stakes in Union Rags had a fine start today. Painter is going to go to set the pace, though. And on the far outside, My Adonis came out with Speed Optimizer is up close between those two, and Unstoppable U is down on the inside. Union Rags will be fifth early as they run for that first turn. Union Rags is only about three lengths off the lead. Dullahan is in behind him. Attigan saves ground, and then 516, Ravello's Boy. Giada Start Leech, and late running Street Life is the trailer, and he's about 10 lengths off of Painter, who completes an opening quarter in 23 3/5 seconds. A solid first fraction for Painter and Mike Smith. Dullahan is now gaining some ground on the rail. He still has 7 lengths to make up. Painter continues to lead the way. 3 quarters went in 1:14 3. Around the far turn, Painter is the leader. Union Rags is slipping through an opening on the inside of Unstoppable U. My Adonis is going 3 wide. Dullahan is now being ridden to the back of the pack. He's got to go. Painter is the leader as they make their way to the top of the stretch. Unstoppable U is second. Union Rags is right behind them while Attigan swings up on the far outside. And they're into the stretch. Painter, here's Attigan Allen on the far outside. Unstoppable U. Union Rags is fourth along the rail. Dolahan and Streetlife are trying to get involved late. It's still Painter. Union Rags. Adigan. Painter. Union Rags. Fighting from the rail. Painter. Union Rags has got him. Union Rags in the Belmont Stakes. And Painter was second best. Then came Adigan, followed by Streetlife. It was the real Union Rags today. He won the Belmont.
Woohoo! Oh, gosh, Larry Comas can call a race. I mean, my God, he makes it so exciting. But I wanted to point something out to you about that race. I've told you before, I've given you some hot tips on that horse named Streetlife. Do you remember that?
Yeah, he came in fourth, well, didn't he, or something?
He finished in fourth. That horse broke poorly, was beat up throughout the race, would go, stop, had to go all the way around and weave back in. And he ran twice as far as anybody else did. And he had such a choppy race, and it was just such a poorly jockeyed race, I guess would be the word, but poorly piloted. That horse ran with the heart of a lion, came all the way back from fourth, and he was in dead last for three quarters of it. So just a little, you know, mention for Streetlife, because we're going to see something spectacular from that horse coming up, I'm pretty sure. But Union Rags was awesome. I mean, just awesome.
And I think if somebody, you know, if there was going to be another horse to win other than I'll Have Another, which there had to be, Union Rags was the story that everybody wanted to see. And what a race it would have been, seeing Union Rags coming down that stretch. It would have been three noses across with I'll Have Another. It would have been thrilling, to say the least.
Oh, well, it was. And again, you know, it sucks that he wasn't there, but my God, what a great, glad they pulled him. You know, they could have put him in there and tried to piece him together, and it would have just been a disaster. So good for them for not doing it and keeping him for another day, you know.
Now, just to keep it real, though, I just want to mention to everybody that one of the headlines about the Belmont was the worst winner in four decades. And the reason for that was of only two of the past dozen Belmonts have been won in slower time. Then Union Rags needed to stick his head and out and win. And this was the 38th slowest Belmont in the last 42 years. So they weren't breaking any records for speed on Saturday.
Well, you know, let's be real here, okay? It didn't matter. Union Rags was the fastest of the slow horses. And that's all you have to be on a day where you've got to win a race.
He's still $1 million richer, so that's a good thing. So tell me, so the first week you spent in Spain and you were at this riding school place riding all that big black fancy horse you kept sending those pictures of, who you were absolutely in love with.
Oh, my gosh. What a horse. Yeah, I spent the first week, we flew into Spain, into Madrid, and spent one night in Madrid. And I've got to give it up to the Spanish people, because my God, they have figured out how to live well. They might not live well, but they live happy, okay? And let me tell you why. There's no waking up early in Spain. You maybe get up at 9, have breakfast, I don't know, around 10, and then you go to work. And be it whatever you do, you go to work for a couple hours, and right around 2-3 o'clock is lunchtime. And so you go home and you have lunch, you close your shops, you close your restaurants, you close everything, banks, everything closes at around 2, because everybody goes home and has lunch, and lunch is the big meal of the day. So what do you do after you have a big meal for lunch? You take a nap, and everything's closed for siesta time during the day. It is awesome. So you are forced to go take a nap right after you eat a really big lunch in the middle of the day. Then around 7 o'clock, 6-7 o'clock, shops start to open again. And then restaurants right around 8:30, 9 o'clock begin to open for dinner. Now, Chad and I, being the Americans that we are, we're like, holy cow, this is really late to eat dinner. So we would like be waiting when the first night we were waiting when they opened it, you know, like starving to death. And they we would sit down at 8:30 to have dinner. 9:30, 10 o'clock, we were finally done. The place was starting to get customers. 10, 11 o'clock, that place was packed. By midnight, everybody's eating. It was the craziest thing.
Boy, that doesn't match our schedule at all. Jennifer and I'd be screwed.
No, it doesn't match anybody's schedule. It was so crazy. But you know who figured it out pretty quick? That would be us. It was awesome. Let me tell you, just eating all day. And then, by the way, at lunch, you have to have wine and or sangria. You have to, because that helps your siesta a little bit later. So there's no complaining about the Spain lifestyle, because it wasn't like that in Portugal. So you have to, like, readjust and then try to get back to that. But so we spent the first night in Madrid and had a great time. And by 1 o'clock in the morning, we're like, we have got to go back to the hotel. But the streets are filled and people are partying. And it's like Tuesday. I mean, it was like ridiculous. It was not a party night at all. And it was, every night was like that. It's a party in Spain every night, no matter where you are. The next morning, we took a train to Sevilla. And that is where Fernando from Epona Equestrian Center picked us up. And us, and there's only one other guest there for the week, a nice young lady named Sarah, who is from London. And there was just the three of us, Chad, Sarah, and I, for the entire first week, which is this riding vacation where they usually have 8 to 12 people. We just got really lucky. Lucky for us, not so lucky for them business-wise, but great for us because, oh, my gosh, to have the run of this farm. And I'll just give you, like, Epona Equestrian Center is a very family-run place. The father, Fernando, is the one who takes you on your morning trail ride. And by morning trail ride, I mean you're sitting on, you know, some, like for me, I was on this gray Andalusian, huge gray Andalusian, and you're riding these horses on the trail, trail being through fields of sunflowers, sunflowers, as tall as you are, riding through these fields, like, hey, let's have a canter. Okay. All right. And then you canter through the fields of sunflowers and then by the wheat fields, and just something about riding next to a wheat field when the wind is blowing, shh, and you can just hear it going through the wheat. It was just magical, magical. So it was a 3-hour trail ride every morning, except for the morning we went to the beach. That was a little bit of a drive. And I'll get to that in a second. But then in the afternoons, you got another horse who you were taking your dressage lessons on. And your dressage lessons are with the two daughters. One is either Vivi or Kati. And these girls teach your dressage lessons. Now, when I say dressage lessons, these girls, Vivi graduated from the Spanish equivalent of the Spanish riding school. I'm an amazing rider and trainer and coach, like not even just Grand Prix, like high school dressage, where they teach the horses piaf and passage and Spanish walk as tempi changes. And all these horses that are the school horses know how to do all of this. I was on a horse named Seneca for the first couple days, and if I would ask Seneca to do something and Seneca didn't understand, he would just start doing piaf or passage. Like his default move was passage or Spanish walk. I mean, these horses are so incredibly highly trained that when you confuse them, they just try harder. Like, okay, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to do piaf? Do you want me to do passage? How about Spanish walk? Flying change? Okay. Like, that is these horses. These Andalusians are just absolutely amazing. So I got to ride that one. I got to ride one named Habanero, and I got to ride the absolute love of my life, this horse that I just, the black one that I sent you pictures of. His name is Deseado, and oh, my gosh, what an animal. And I sent Jennifer a link to videos on our my YouTube page, which just kind of has some of the lessons and just some short clips of the different horses and the different lessons and videos that we took on the beach and that kind of stuff. So if you want to post that, Jen, that was just kind of a taste of what you can do. If you are a dressage rider or a dressage lover, this place, you got to go. I mean, so the rest of the family, which is the mom, so the Fernando is Spanish and his wife is Scottish. And the two daughters are a mix of Spanish and Scottish, and the accents are really cool, and everybody speaks English. It was very easy. They speak French, English, and Spanish at this place, so you pretty much got Europe covered. And they speak Scottish, too, which is a whole other language.
You didn't get to practice any of your Spanish while you were there?
Oh, trust me. I was so frustrated because I'd been practicing and practicing, and I got to use it in Madrid the first night, and then everybody on the farm spoke English. I'm like, this sucks. I wish you guys only spoke Spanish. I was ready for you. And then the second week, we went to Portugal, and they speak Portuguese. So pretty much the first night and the last night in Madrid were the only time I got to practice my Spanish that I've been working on for a year.
Did you have to use the stay away from him, he's my husband line that you practice so much?
You know what? I got pretty lucky. The one I did use an awful lot, and it's so cheesy, but literally it saved my life a couple times, was ¿Dónde está el baño? ¿Dónde está el baño? Where's the bathroom? That's what that means, Glenn. Where's the bathroom? And then, you know, I would like a carafe of your house red. ¿Vino tinto? Una carafa de vino tinto, por favor. Then you were good. If you just knew those two things. And Portuguese understands Spanish for the most part, too. So I did get to practice a little bit there. But the food at Epona was amazing. The mom, Vivi and Kathy's mom, Fernando's wife, is the cook. And she cooks this amazing breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Vegetarian-friendly, meat-lover-friendly. It was, like, catered to your individual taste. And it was just awesome. I ate food from all different countries and different cultures. Glenn, the food would be enough to get you there. Take the non-riding vacation and go eat their food. It was amazing. It was like a cultural experience at every meal. It was great.
And how did Chad? Did he do okay? Did he ride a lot, or was he just there watching you during that week?
No, he wanted to do the riding vacation part. You can either go as a rider or a non-rider. And he decided to go as a rider because these three-hour trail rides, he wanted to go with me. And he thought, well, I won't take any dressage lessons because you do a trail ride in the morning and then a lesson in the evening under their covered arena, which is really nice. He actually took a dressage lesson every single day.
Really?
There was not one ride that he missed. Sarah and I would ride together and do like a semi-private on these amazing, I was like, okay, let's go do Passage. Let's go do Piaf. This kind of ridiculousness. Then Chad gets on, and of course Chad's still figuring out the walk, trot, canter and kind of getting connection with the horse. He worked so hard. He had a private lesson every single evening and did really, really well. Now, I would love to post the videos I took on Facebook or on our Facebook page or on my YouTube channel or something, but there is no chance in hell he's going to let me do it.
I don't blame him. I'm with him on that one.
Yeah, he rides bikes. Like, I swear, if anybody sees these videos, I'm like, babe, you're safe. He would not wear riding pants. He did wear jeans and half chaps. I couldn't convince him to wear the much needed and much, you know, very helpful breeches, but he would not wear them. So jeans and half chaps, but he rode a really nice horse that was super patient and took care of him. And by the end of it, he's wild track cantering 20-meter circles and figuring out, like, how to kind of keep connected and steer the horse with your legs. And he just did awesome. Now, since we've gotten home, because we got home on Friday, I have tried to get him on a horse every day, and he hasn't. He's like, not today. Like, get
not
on your horse. He's like, I'm good for a while.
Yeah. See, that's the difference between a horse husband and a horse crazy wife.
I know. Yeah. My poor horses are so sick of me right now because I'm like, okay, you're going to learn. You're going to learn how to do a half-pass jet. And Joe Montana, I think I need to teach you Spanish walk. And my horses are sick of me. But the week at Epona was amazing. And I must tell you, it about broke Chad's heart when I had to leave. And, you know, you're saying goodbye, and, I'd snuck the horse in some apples. And I seriously, when I had to leave that black horse, I cried like a baby outside his stall. I mean, it was pathetic, Glenn. I came back, and they were like, what's wrong with you? And I was like, I had to say goodbye to my horse. This stallion was the breed of Andalusian is like the kindest, sweetest, most forgiving, hardworking breed of horse ever. And that is one thing that I've always loved about him and why I wanted to go to Spain to be around him, you know, to ride Andalusians in their home country. But these stallions, you know, you can tack them up tied next to a mare. This stallion, I would put my hands underneath his chin and kiss his nose. And how many stallions would bite your face off if you try to do that? I go in the stall and I'm hugging him and loving him and squeezing him. And he's just like wrapping his head around my shoulder, nickering. You know, it's just so unbelievably sweet. So since I've gotten home, I was informed that Daisy Auto had been sold. And I found that out yesterday, and I cried, like, all day. Not that I thought I would ever own this amazing horse or fly him back to the United States, but the fact that somebody else got to keep him just about broke my heart yesterday. So I'm like, but he should have been mine. Chad's like, oh, it's okay. Like, oh, he didn't know what to say.
Chad's going, thank God.
Like, what do you say? No, he really liked the horse too. I think more than anything, you know, he's been around some friends of ours that had, you know, thoroughbred breeding stallions or breeding. He was just so amazed with the breed of Andalusian and their demeanor and their temperament. And they had so many stallions there, and you never would have known that they were even stallions. So it was just it's a phenomenal breed of horse and a phenomenal facility. And you know, I recommend anybody going there, because if you do want to take that dream riding vacation and eat well and learn a lot and ride some really nice horses and some beautiful scenery, definitely Epona Equestrian Center is the place to go. And I booked it through Equitrekking, but you know, there's I'm sure other ways to get there, but just check out Equitrekking if you want to go. But it was just awesome.
Terrific. Well, it did look like you were having a great time, and I'm glad that Chad did too. And I want to hear more. We're going to have to do it later on in the show, but I want to hear more about the cat. When you started posting pictures of castles and that town you were in Portugal, looked like my kind of place. So I was getting a little jealous.
I'll tell you about it at the end of the show, because you, Glenn, it was your come to life Disney World. The only thing missing was fuzzy animals walking around, life-size animals walking around. That was the only thing that you would have missed about the whole place. It was awesome. I'm going to tell you about that before we go today.
All right, terrific. Well, let's talk. We got our guest coming up here, first guest back here, for Jamie back here. So we're going to take a break for our commercial for Omega Alpha and then be back here with Amy from New Vocations with our OTTV of the month. You know, we all care about what we feed our horses, probably more than what we feed ourselves. Omega Alpha also cares about what goes into your horses and ponies, and that's why Omega Alpha only uses natural formulations for enhancing equine health and performance. All of their products are made by them using the finest ingredients available. Dozens of different all-natural products are available to help your horses with all kinds of things, including their coat, digestive tract, kidney and liver function, muscles, joints, and so much more. See all of their products at OmegaAlphaEquine.com or like them on Facebook by searching for Omega Alpha Equine. OmegaAlphaEquine.com for all your natural supplement needs. Well, every month we get together with our friends over at New Vocations to take a look at one of the horses that they have for adoption over there, one of their off-the-track thoroughbreds. And today we have Amy with us from New Vocations. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning.
So glad that you could join us today. And we're going to be talking about one. Did Jennifer say that this one is new for you guys, that's just arrived or something?
Yeah, we've had him for a little while. He's not up on our site yet. We just had him evaluated, and he's ready to go up on our site. But he's sort of one of our special needs cases, and that's why we haven't put him up on the website yet, but we will this week. We often have horses that come to us that will be, you know, pasture sound or will be like a light riding horse, and he happens to be one of those because of the injuries he sustained while he was racing.
Jennifer looked him up. By the way, his name is Steve Starr, and he's a six-year-old bay, and he has no white. I see his picture here. He's a gelding. And, boy, he's a fatty. He looks terrific as far as, you know, from this picture anyway.
Yeah, he's definitely looks like a sire. Sire's Dynaformer, so he has that kind of big, powerful build, and just a big, solid guy. That sort of silly, you know, I know everything attitude, but very, very fun to be around. Very polite and very curious about the world. Even though he's timid, he's very curious about what goes on. He's just kind of an all-round happy horse. And quite a talker, too. Loves to talk to you, and he happens to be right next to our office. So every time we come in and out of the office, he's watching or wants attention or talks to you because he's also next to the feed room. And then he tells everybody else that I'm in the feed room. So he gets the whole barn going. But, yeah, really a nice guy. He actually raced at the Belmont Churchill Downs level. They had great expectations for him. Because actually, all through his life, as a yearling at the Keeneland September sale, he sold for $260,000. Then in Keeneland again, as a two-year-old in training, he sold for $500,000. So they had,
wow.
Yeah, good hopes for him. Just so happened, his 11th race at Belmont, he stepped in a hole on the track and came up lame. So they took a look at him. They did ultrasounds and x-rays, and it just so happened that he dislocated his pastern, so he's got a subluxation in the pastern bone, and we have x-rays. It's a slight dislocation, but in doing that, he also strained the tendons and ligaments, and those are all healed, but he'll permanently have this dislocation. So that's what makes him just either a pasture pet, or our vets here said he can go out and walk and trot on the trail, but he'll probably never be completely sound. But it's not something that he can live with this. It doesn't stop him from running and playing in the pasture, but he won't be permanently sound due to this.
Yeah, they all don't come out healthy off the track.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the things that you guys have to deal with all the time, too.
Yes, we do. And, you know, we talk to our vets, and we run through with them. They're actually here every other week, so we can kind of go through the horses. And, you know, it's a learning experience for us, too, because there's a lot of injuries that we wouldn't normally deal with on a day-to-day basis, but you know, are created through their racing history. And we've talked to them, and they said, you know, you can do surgery on this. You can, and that would require a plate and fusing the joint together, but that's really not something, he's still going to be the same. So it's not the type of thing that could turn him into a three-foot hunter if we would do this. So instead of putting him through something like that, and he's only 6 years old, so he still has a lot of life left, and he'll be able to function just fine the way he is. It just limits what he'll be able to do. Oh. But, yeah, and I like him a lot. But, yeah, he's one of those, and we get a lot of these horses that have just run and run and run and run their hearts out. And, you know, we try and find them homes, and so far, you know, we've done well with this because there's very generous people out there that mm-hmm. will take them in, and they're more than willing to try and help these guys because of, you know, what they've gone through or the heart that they showed on the track. And they're very generous people out there. And so that's kind of what we're looking for him, too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's such a cutie. And
yes.
Talk about his bloodlines. Oh, my God.
Yes.
This horse is bred to the hilt.
Yes. Yep. Yep. Dynaformer on the top, APND seeking the gold on the bottom. Yeah, he was bred for exactly what his job was. And he was doing it until one bad step.
Yeah. Now, how tall is he? I don't know if you said it yet.
He's over 16'2". Yeah, so
16'2".
He's big.
Yeah, and from the looks of the pictures of this absolutely adorable guy, by the way, it looks like he is not going to be one of those hard keepers.
No, he's not. Not at all. He loves his food. He eats. That is definitely not an issue at all.
I have three thoroughbreds here that I feed. I mean, they eat me out of house and home. This horse, this thoroughbred, looks like he could survive on air.
Yes, he almost does. Yep, he gets still a decent amount of food, but yeah, a lot of it is that, you know, he had let down while he was on stall rest for his injury, and so we have to build that back up. But yeah, he is not one of our finicky eaters. He's very good about cleaning his plate. Yeah. Yep, he's very good. But yeah, so just is one of those guys that just will need, you know, a special home. And it's been harder with this economy to get somebody that really says, I can do this, I'll take this on, and it's been harder since the economy has not been so great.
Now, has he been ridden out there?
Yep, he's been under saddle, a little nervous at first. I think he was, you know, like most of them, what are we doing, what's going on? And he'll just trot in place. And then, but he tries to go to work, but frankly, he's definitely not a very pretty mover.
So
he just kind of chugs along as he goes. But good heart, just not, you know, even if he was sound, he would not make a pretty. He's definitely not a 10 mover by any means, but
Amy,
he tries.
Amy,
he's very enthusiastic.
No. We've had to, I got to tell you the way that I like to say it. It's not that he's not a pretty mover. What I say, and this is my little thoroughbred out back here, is I say he's just not the most fortunate moving horse.
Right. He is definitely. That's exactly right.
Yeah. Yep. Then you don't feel like you're really slamming him, but you're
right.
Just kind of like, well, he's just not the most fortunate mover.
Right.
I mean, he's. You know, just not
right.
Fortunate.
Exactly. He didn't have to be a pretty mover to make it on the track, right?
Exactly.
That's right. Yep.
Hey, Amy, I got
it. Yeah.
I got to tell you, what's your website? What a brand new, nice website you guys have now.
Oh, well, thank you. Sandy here, she and her husband designed all that and spent quite a lot of time going through everything and trying to look at the needs and the future of what we need. And that's what they came up with. And, yeah, it's definitely much easier to use, much friendlier, and gives you a lot more information.
Yeah, it is great. And I didn't even know you guys had standardbreds, and now you got standardbreds here on the homepage.
Yep, we're trying to do more, too, from the standardbred end because, yeah, half of our facilities are standardbred facilities. So, yep, we're trying to get them kind of caught up to what we do with the thoroughbreds as well and get that out there, too. But they seem to kind of sell themselves. So they definitely, the standardbred, some of them are gone immediately when they're on the website. They've even had problems getting enough standardbreds in. They're just a more durable breed, and people hang on to them longer. And they're so good at, you know, transitioning to trail riding or driving that they get snatched up very quickly. So, yeah, they're not up there very long, and then they're gone. But, yep, we're trying to help with the promotion of that as well because it seems
to be
terrific. All direct thoroughbred, yeah.
I love it. And by the way, the best name right now on the website, I'm looking at the thoroughbreds here. In my opinion, the best name is Mr. Shoefly Pie, having grown up in Amish country.
Yep, that's exactly. I laughed when I saw that name. And it's so funny because I thought when I'm writing their descriptions, we talked about that. I said, has anybody here ever had Shoefly Pie to know that it's really sticky, sweet? My family's all from eastern Pennsylvania. And they all looked at me. I had no idea, but,
true.
You know, his name fits.
Shoefly Pie is the gooeyest pie out there.
Yep.
It's just gooey. Yeah.
Yep, exactly.
Does this horse match his name? Is he gooey?
Absolutely.
And, you know.
He just, I laughed, and that's why I said he just sticks to you like glue because he's so timid. And you walk in his stall, and I'm like, yep, he's sweet, gooey, just absolutely adorable. But, yeah, it fits, and I think that might be why they named him that, too, because it's not in his lineage, but... Yeah, and I wanted to tell you, too, that the other horses we had talked about, Native actually moved with his owner, Native Tongue, to California, and has been horse showing and sent us a picture. He won a few classes, so
Yay. That's
what he's been doing. Run with Heart is down in St. Augustine, Florida, and he's actually teaching some kids, and he is teaching them basics as far as working on the ground with horses, and he has one girl assigned to him. That is learning about taking care of horses and riding. And so he's in a program like that, and they adore him. They decorated the front of his stall with hearts and everything when he got down there. So he's doing that. And Chatterbell just left as well. She's living in Cincinnati, and she left with two of our other horses, Old Blind Ned and East Coaster. The three of them went to the same farm, so she got to go with her turnout buddy. And she's just going to hang out for a while she grows up. So those three are all doing very well in their new homes.
Well, that's terrific. Yay. Go
team.
Well, let's
hope
we can get this nice guy by the name of Steve Starr. And if right now they could just contact you. There's not anything on the website about him.
Okay.
So they could just give you a call or drop you an email.
Yeah, and then, drop us an email. And you can contact us. At he's at the Marysville location, so you can contact any of us here. And he should be going up on the website this week. We just have to do a quick video of him, and he'll be ready to go up.
And now, do you guys have a horse show coming up, too?
We do. We have a horse show that's for, we have some specialty thoroughbred classes, and we also have classes open to all horses. We have hunters and dressage going on at the same time, which is something kind of for the area. It's very different. Usually they're so separated, but we have 2 days of dressage ring going, and we have 3 hunter rings going, and we offer all sorts of hunter classes, and we have specialty classes. We have the Ohio Hunter Jumper Association medal classes and Trainer's Challenge and Thoroughbred Challenge classes and Hunter Classics that will spotlight the thoroughbred as well. And then at lunchtime on Saturday, we do a thoroughbred recognition where anybody that has a registered thoroughbred can bring them in. And usually about, I think, 38 to 42 horses are thoroughbreds out of 125. So that's always fun to see how many thoroughbreds. And we also spotlight the war horses, which are have done 50 races or over 100,000. And we usually have 9 or 10 horses in that as well. It's an in-hand class. And there's a flat class, too, if they're able to be ridden. And then they get spotlighted as well and stories told about them as to where they raced and all of that to sort of spotlight the campaigners out there. So it's always fun for us to see as well.
Well, that's terrific.
Oh, I love that.
Isn't it cool? And that's at your Ohio facility, right?
About a half an hour from here. It's at the Delaware County Fairgrounds in Delaware, Ohio. It's about half an hour from our location here. Yeah, very convenient location for us, and they have great horse facilities there that allows us to do a lot. And then we have dinner this year, something different. We're going to do dinner on Saturday night so that people can sit and watch and eat dinner and watch our Thoroughbred and Open Classic, which will be held like 7:30 at night. And so people get to sit and eat dinner and watch that classic. Yeah.
All right, terrific. You can find all of that at horseadoption.com. It's the place to go. Give them a call if you're interested in taking in this nice guy by the name of Steve Starr, who will keep your other horses company and also will make sure he keeps your fields eaten down. You will never have to mow again.
He will do that. He will do that.
Thank you, Amy.
All right, thank you. All right,
bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That's New Vocations at horseadoption.com. Well, that's good. All the other horses we talked about have nice homes now. Isn't that cool?
That is fantastic. They, you know, I don't know if any of our listeners have been the ones, but, you know, they're just horse people have big hearts. And these thoroughbreds, you know, it's getting so much more popular to have an off-the-track thoroughbred thanks to places like New Vocations and the Jockey Club celebrating retired racehorses. All the horse shows that I have been to recently all have thoroughbred classes, like off-the-track thoroughbreds only, or any of the horse trials that we've been to all have the special, you know, sign up ahead of time if your horse is an off-the-track thoroughbred and you get special prizes if you win. I love the fact that it's coming more into the forefront and becoming kind of more a part of everything is celebrating that the thoroughbred breed.
And, you know, it's interesting what she said about standardbreds being, you know, taken so quickly, too. You know, Helena right now put in an application to this standardbred retirement people, and she's going, I think she was heading down this week or next week to New Jersey to take a look at some standardbreds. And of course, I've been kind of keeping my eyes open for one that rides and drives. So standardbreds are becoming very popular too for adoptions, and that's terrific to see as well. Well, let's take a little break for our song, and then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about some teams that have been put together for the Olympics. All the eventing teams pretty much for Canada and England and the United States have been named now. So we're going to take a look at those lists and see what you think of that. And then Victoria from Horse and Country TV is coming up here in a bit as well. Well, while you were gone, Jamie, in your honor, I played every song that you hate. I just ran through them all. I think I got Barn Cat in there. I didn't get the Pasofino song in because I can't even do that one. But I did get almost every other one. I found some new ones that you would hate and played those too. I knew you'd hate
Aubrey. Poor Aubrey. She's you know, the sister from another mother, and she has the same musical taste that I do. Poor thing. She must have been suffering.
Yeah, she was. She even posted on her Facebook page that she hated me. So I think
that
was pretty clear. Yeah, pretty clear. All right, well, we're going to welcome you back with a little Jared, because I haven't played any Jared Rogerson while you were gone. So we're going to welcome you back with a little Peace, Love, and Horses. Aubrey, if you hang up, you're in trouble. A good way to welcome you back.
Yes, either that or Girls and Horses. Those are two of my favorite songs of all time. So perfect. Well done. Sorry, Aubrey. I'm sorry you didn't deal with him.
If Aubrey had hung up today, I was going to play Pasofino tomorrow. So thank God she saved the audience from that. Well, you're listening to Horses in the Morning. I'm Glenda Geek, back here with Jamie Jennings, who decided to come back. She didn't stay in Spain after all. We were a little worried.
And me both.
Well, I knew your husband had just gotten a new job and all that stuff over at the base, and I thought, well, you know, that there's a good chance she'll probably come back because he got this new job.
Well, I kind of figured that he could be a commuter. You know, I could stay there. He could come and go, and at 16, it wouldn't take him very long to get there. I was a little unrealistic at times when I was at the Andalusian farm.
I figured, though, you know, he could take the F-16, but there's a couple fuel stops that the tankers would have to come in, and that gets expensive. So I think the government would probably not like that much.
Why you got to get all realistic on me, okay?
I was just trying to make sure you were coming back. In my mind, I was going over all these things, see, because the audience would revolt if you hadn't come back. Well, let's talk a little bit about the eventing teams coming up here. We have three of them. Well, two of them that have been named, and then there's a short list on another. So talk about the United States.
Well, yeah, it's really exciting. They now have the short list. And no matter what, for the rest of these people's lives, if they've never been on this list, they are now officially forever. I was on the short list. You know how you, like, go to take a riding lesson from somebody, and they're like, oh, she was shortlisted. You know what that means? You know, that's what these people now can say about themselves, even if they don't make the team. I'm confused, though, because I want to know if Philip Dutton is on here twice, and Boyd Martin is on here twice as well. Can they ride two horses in the Olympics? Do you know the rules?
No, I don't think so. Or I'm thinking we would see William Fox Pitt being named twice for the team in England, or six times.
Or nine times.
So I think what they're going to do is all of these shortlists are going over to England to ride at Barbary Castle June 27th, and then they're going to pick the final squad on July the 2nd after they ride over there. So I think you're going to see one of each is my guess.
Okay, gotcha. So the 11 members on the U.S. shortlist for the 2012 Olympic Games.
By the way, we're talking eventing. Just wanted to clarify that.
Yes, just the eventing team, because that was just named. Philip Dutton and Mystery Whisper, and then Philip Dutton and Mighty Nice. You know, the guy can't lose. Now, you've got to think, when you think Boyd Martin and Neville Bardos, oh, you just hope that that's the team, because that will be the greatest story ever. Boyd Martin is also on there with Otis Barbottieri. So he's got two horses. But what an Olympic story to take into the forefront of the actual entire Olympic coverage. Boyd Martin saves this horse from a fire with Philip Dutton, and Neville Bardos is competing. They thought he wouldn't even live. So just awesome that he was named to the shortlist. Sinead Halpin and Manoir de Carnville, also one of the Rolex finalists last year. Karen O'Connor, of course, always named. It's just which horse? Mr. Medicott. Will Coleman and Twizzle, which is kind of a little bit, I guess, of a surprise. I mean, he did really well at Rolex this year, and he's been riding very well. Will Coleman, Clark Montgomery and Laughlin Glenn, Tiana Coudray and Ringwood Magister. This horse does dressage like nobody's business. Same deal with Allison Springer and Arthur. Now, she, of course, won Rolex this year. I'm sorry, came in second in Rolex this year. And aside from having, you know, he's a little bit spooky, but his dressage is always phenomenal. And if she can get him to focus through the entire thing, she's got a great chance of winning. And also Marilyn Little Meredith and Ravano Rex, also named. So 11 pairs are going to compete at Barbary Castle Horse Trials on June 27th. And then the final squad, oh, my God, talk about the pressure. The final squad named on July 2nd, the day after the horse trials is over. That's crazy.
And all of the horses are scheduled to fly out for England in a week. So these people who were just named have to get their horses ready to go. They have to get themselves ready to go. They, you know, not like they hadn't, they probably didn't know they were in the running, but it gets real, real when you're named and you're told, okay, your flight leaves in a week. Things accelerate a bit. Yeah. Now, the Canadian Olympic team, eventing team has been named. Now, this is the actual team, not the short list. Holly Bennett and Gin and Juice, of course, a stalwart pair for the last many years. We've seen those two compete, and they're a great combination. Rebecca Howard and Riddlemaster, another good pair. Now, Jessica Phoenix and Expedential. Word is that Jessica Phoenix did have surgery on Saturday for her broken collarbone that we talked about last week. And she should be back in action in 2 weeks with Tucker Fresh. And Tucker has been, the O'Connors have been keeping Tucker in shape. That's Expedential. That's the barn name for Expedential. So it looks like Jessica will be back. Now, this is a girl who rode horses till she was 8 months pregnant and got back on a week after she had the baby. So I think there's a good chance that a broken collarbone's not going to slow her down. Michael Mueller and Amistad,
Michelle.
Peter Berry. Was it Michelle? Oh, yeah, it is Michelle. And then Peter Berry and what a Kilrodden Abbott. Is that how they say it? Kilrodon Abbott.
Yeah, Kilrodon.
I don't know, but what did they ride at Rolex this year?
Yep. No, I don't know if it's this year. Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, Peter Barry is a competitor that's been around forever and just seems to always be right up there in the top. So that's a really nice horse he's got too. And the one I wasn't sure about, the alternate, Shandis Wiwiora and Rockfield Grant Juan. Have you heard of that pair before?
No, that's a new one on me. I haven't even heard of her before.
Yeah, neither one. So that's great for a Canadian team. They're looking really, really strong. And the Team Great Britain was just announced as well. The British Equestrian Federation has confirmed their eventing team. And you have got Christina Cook riding Miner's Frolic. You've got William Fox Pitt, who is riding the horse Lionheart. So that's the one that they have selected is Lionheart. Piggy French is also going to be riding Jakarta. Is it Jakarta or Jakarta?
I think it's Jakarta.
Amazing rider, obviously. And then, of course, Mary King has to be on the team. And she'll be riding Imperial Cavalier. And then the big surprise, but kind of a surprise, she finished third this past weekend, Zara Phillips riding High Kingdom. You know, she was actually supposed to be in the last Olympic team and got hurt like 2 weeks before the games. So, you know, her mom, Princess Anne, competed in the Olympics. She ended up falling in the Olympics, but her dad, Captain Mark Phillips, of course, won the gold medal in the Olympics. So she comes from Olympic blood, and you can't not pull for the girl. I mean, the pressure that woman lives under on a daily basis, being part of the royal family, and now she's kicking butt and making the Olympic team, I'm excited for her. I'm excited.
Yeah, and I saw when I get my news alerts this morning, there were about 100 stories about Zara being chosen, and they were all from the mainstream press. So I think Zara being in there is going to give a lot more credence to the equestrian sports than would happen normally in an Olympic year, because we sort of get second fiddle all the time. But I think with Zara in there, that's going to change things a lot this year.
Oh, it's going to be great. It's just there's so many great stories coming out of the eventing, just the eventing. Wait till we get to the dressage and to the show jumping, and it's going to be awesome. So I'm excited I just can't wait for the Olympics. I love that time. I love Olympic fever.
Well, that's coming up here in not too long. What is it? 6 weeks, I think, the Olympics will be going on. So we'll be keeping you informed. We're, of course, going to be picking a dressage team here very shortly, and jumping teams will be announced shortly as well. So we'll keep you informed of all of those as we go along, and good luck to the American team. Good luck to all the riders, and we'll see which final five get picked at the end or on July the 2nd. Well,
yeah.
We're going to be coming up to Victoria here. Speaking of Europe, Victoria is, I think she is ready. So we have about another minute before she'll be ready. Jennifer's checking with her right now. Sorry about that.
Gotcha.
False alarm.
Well, you know, it was so fun being over in Europe, because the thing about it is that you go to your hotel room and you turn on the TV, and what you don't realize is the second you get there, there's nothing in English. There's no channels in English. I mean, we're at least... You would think that there would be a couple movie channels, nothing, except save one channel, and that is CNN over in Europe. They have a European CNN. I'm trying blanking on what they call it, but that is the one channel we would watch all the time, because that's the only one that was in English. And so what was great about it was the Queen's Diamond Jubilee. It was going on while we were over there, and I watched. You would have thought that I was a member of the royal family, as much coverage as I watched, like just glued to the television chat, like, let's go. I'm like, no, I'm watching a biopic on the Queen right now. It's only another hour. I mean, just watch the hour-long special on the Queen. And I learned all sorts of things about the Queen. She is an amazing woman. Let me just tell you that right now for those who didn't know. So that was what was really exciting, was to sit there and watch the European CNN and the stories that they tell. It's a lot better. They actually told like really interesting stories, not just, you know, hey, this is what this stock is doing and this is what this stock is doing. It was really interesting and really exciting. But yes, now I'm a huge fan of William, not that I wasn't already, but William and the new princess, or, well, Duchess, and the overall family. It was great. I
now,
can't
did you
wait
get to see
your
any, of the, any of the coverage of the flotilla? Because I thought the flotilla was fascinating.
Is that the thing on the river?
Yeah, the boat parade. Yes, yes.
Yes, that was That's awesome. Cool. I mean, you don't realize, I guess you forget being over here that, you know, we have president and half the people like the president and half the people hate the president. But it just seems to me like everybody in England loves the royal family. They love the queen. The fact that she's been sitting there, sitting on the throne for 60 years, about to be one of the longest in history to sitting queen. And the fact that she's been sitting there, people were 10 deep at the river to watch her float by on a boat.
Sure.
For miles, millions of people, just to watch it float by. Hi. How's it going?
Yeah, you're probably right. If we put the president on a boat, half the audience would be cheering and half of them would be trying to sink it. So, I mean, you're probably right.
Release the gators.
That's true.
So that's America for you right there.
Now, in the United States, the Kardashians would like to be the royalty of the United States, see? They're trying really hard to become the royalty of the United States, but it ain't working out so well for them.
Isn't that just embarrassing, too, to America?
That's what we have.
I'm sorry to the Kardashians if they're listening. I think it's an embarrassment to our country. You know, here they've got this story about the queen who has, you know, been traveling to Africa and feeding the hungry. And then, like, we have the Kardashians who went to the mall this weekend. Like, seriously, that's what we have to watch?
Exactly. Got it. That's what we have to watch.
But it was really exciting, and did you get any coverage of the Queen's Diamond Jubilee over here in the U.S.?
Not a lot. Now, there, on BBC there might have been, but, you know, it certainly wasn't on our mainstream. But, yeah, I mean, the news stories would be real quick, so we didn't get We weren't watching it nonstop like you were in Europe.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the only thing we had to watch, so watch it or stare at the empty TV. You know, when you're going to sleep, you want to watch a little TV. So it wasn't that I didn't want to leave the hotel room at all. And I can't wait to tell you about, are we still waiting on Victoria? Is she actually here yet?
She had a bad connection, so we're trying to get her back from England. So Jennifer's working on that right now. And where everything was okay, Jet was okay when you got home, all the animals, everybody was all right. A long time to be away.
Poor Jose. It was like 112 every day. And, of course, you know, the horses have to have their fly sheets on and their fly mask, and then they have to have their front feet and back feet sprayed with fly spray. I tried to make it as easy as possible, but they still have a lot of stuff that they have to do. So all the horses looked great. All the chickens were alive. All of the guinea pigs and the cat were here, and the dogs were happy. So they only dug about 9 holes in my backyard out of boredom. But other than that, everything was awesome. And so,
and the cat didn't fry on the roof. The cat was alive, hadn't fried on the roof like an egg.
I'm going to tell you that the cat, poor Frank, has decided that he is an indoor cat. I cannot get that cat to go outside for nothing. I wake up in the middle of the night and he's in bed with us. Like, come on. Seriously?
All right, well, Victoria's ready.
All right. Well, from Horse and Country TV, we have Victoria Spicer here. Victoria, we were just talking about the Queen's Diamond Jubilee because I was watching CNN over in Europe, and there was so much coverage of it. And I am a huge fan of the Queen now that I know everything about her.
Oh, I'm sure she'd be delighted to hear that.
I'm sure she'd really care, really care. But I was amazed, and we were just talking about it, how unbelievably loyal the your entire country is to your royal family, whereas we have a president here that half the people hate and half the people like. So did I just kind of get that flavor because I was there during the Diamond Jubilee, or is it just everybody loves the Queen?
I think that was probably a little bit off. I mean, if you asked about the Prime Minister, you'd probably get as much controversy as if you asked people over there about the President. Whereas the Queen, you know, we have her. We don't vote her in or anything. She's just there. And I'd say that, there's probably some people who don't want the monarchy. There's probably quite a large part of society, but I think she's great. And it's been such a nice few months of celebrating, and she's such a lovely lady, and she loves horses. What more could you want?
That's right. I do have to, Jamie, let me tell you something real quick, though, about their prime minister. You think that things are bad over here. They went out to dinner. You know what I'm going to talk about, too, don't you, Victoria?
I do.
they went out to dinner the other night, he and his wife, and the 8-year-old daughter? Is it 8-year-old or 10-year-old? Somewhere in that range.
Oh, I'm not sure.
yeah, like 10-year-old daughter. And then they went back to the prime minister's house. They forgot the daughter at the restaurant. They left her there.
No.
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
Has that made all huge the... Is that huge over there, that story?
It is. It's all over the papers, so...
I mean, I could see, like, parents, like, my parents left me at church one time because they took two cars, and either one, both of them thought they had me, and they were back in 5 seconds. But when you are the prime minister and you have a child and you have all that security detail and all those cars, you think somebody would be like, hey, where's the baby?
Well, apparently she went to the bathroom. She went to the bathroom, and that's the time they left. They all left, and they were all scurrying to get their cars and everything, and they left. And it wasn't until they got back to the prime minister's residence that they noticed. And then apparently they did freak out. They called the restaurant, and the restaurant said, oh, yeah, we have her. We put her to work. Apparently they had her, like, doing dishes and stuff while she was
away. That's hilarious.
My. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Awesome. Well, Victoria, what else is going on? We talked a little bit about William Fox Pitt winning this past weekend. And, Jennifer, if you could post that picture that I pilfered from William Fox Pitt's Facebook page, it is just William Fox Pitt on the pedestal after winning, and you'll appreciate it once you see it. But tell us about Bramham.
Well, we had our presenter, Jenny Riddle, up at Bramham filming for a highlight show that we're showing next week. And talking of funny pictures of William, there's also a picture of him and Jenny. And he is about 8 inches taller than her. And Jenny is really tall. She towers over everybody. So I think William Fox Pitt is the first rider that we've ever found that makes Jenny look small. But he had a brilliant weekend up at Bramham. He led by cross country day and held on to, he led on show jumping and held on to his lead in the CIC 3-star. And he ended up winning 2 titles. And he's just, no wonder they call him Mr. Bramham. He seems to win every year when he goes there.
He has just been on fire. I mean, the guy, it just seems like he can't lose. He is definitely going to be one to watch out for at the Olympics this year, for sure.
He is, definitely. And Bramham obviously has been really influential in terms of who has been selected for the Games. And you know, William was 99% probability to be selected, and then he didn't even have to try at Bramham. There was riders there really going to impress the selectors, and he just turns up, wins both classes, and off he goes, and he's got his Olympic place in the bag. So that's William Fox Pitt. There's a rider that I follow on Twitter, who is an event rider called Phoebe Buckley, who's ridden around Badminton and Burley. And she posted a picture of a donkey and said that she was going to give it to William Fox Pitt, and she was pretty sure that he would get it round Burley. And you know what? I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, I can see it. That guy, aside from the fact that he'd probably have to pick it up because his legs are about 4 miles long, he'd actually have to pick it up and put it on the other side with his legs. But that'd be if anybody could do it, he could. Now, speaking of training horses, and we were talking a little bit earlier about ex-race horses, I believe that something kind of happened over the weekend with one of the Queen's horses.
Yes, it was quite nice. Over the Diamond Jubilee weekend, so the weekend just gone, and we have a series over here with ex-race horses going to become show horses. And it was actually turned out to be that the horse that won the latest qualifier was bred by the Queen. So it was quite a nice bonus surprise on Diamond Jubilee weekend.
Now, was it rigged? Honestly.
I hope not. I think, yeah, there's been enough rumblings of royal rigging going on at the moment. Hopefully that one was judged on its merits. It's very handsome, so I'm sure it deserved to win.
Wait a minute. We can't let her go on without asking about the royal rumblings. Is that because of Zara, or what's going on?
Yes, indeed. I mean, I think Zara and Tina were the two more surprising selections in our Olympic lineup. And, you know, they've both got incredible CVs if you look at them. And Zara's been world and European champion, but she's just not had quite the same form in the last few years. Having said that, she's got a horse at the right place at the right time, and it's going well, and it just finished third at Bramham. And there's no doubting she's a very talented rider, but there is a lot of people saying, you know, if Prince William wanted to be in the Olympics, then he'd just have to put his name down and he'd be selected. So, yeah, there's a little bit of that going on over here.
No, I can see that, but boy, you sure are opening yourself up to a whole lot of crap if you're not ready for it. So I think she's been doing well with this horse, High Kingdom. You know, tell all those people to shut up. I'm excited for her.
I will do. I mean, the fact is, looking at it from a wider sporting point, that not everybody knows what eventing is. And this is our one time when we're going to have horses in the centre of London. So it's going to expose it riding to people that might never have seen a competitive equestrian sport. And we've got these amazing backdrops of Greenwich and Canary Wharf and the London City. And so it's going to be equestrian pictures that make the front cover. For the first time ever, probably, we'll get equestrianism on the front pages of newspapers. And we've got the Queen's granddaughter, and that just guarantees that people will write about it. You know, the story was huge when it broke last night, and it was broken by the BBC and the Telegraph, who's, you know, mainstream media. And so, for once, everybody's going to be talking about horses. And if that's the Zara effect, then I think that's a great thing for our sport.
Yeah, I absolutely do, too. I definitely think it's going to be a good thing for eventing, for the equestrian division altogether, and for the Olympics. So, all good. Now, the next article that I saw is you had some... And you have to explain why donkeys were sent to jail.
Yes, indeed. Well, these are a pair of donkeys that were rescued. They were welfare cases and they got taken to the donkey sanctuary. But now they've got a new life and they're part of a young offenders institute. So the people who are in the institute are going to learn how to care for them and learn responsibility and interact with the animals. And I think it's a really nice project. And I think it will be good for the people who are in the institute and also for the donkeys who are guaranteed a really nice, secure home. A very
secure home. They're little paint donkeys. They're so cute.
They are. They're very sweet.
And, of course, to see that, just head over to horseandcountry.tv. Now, tell us about your blog of the week before we wrap this up.
Well, we're really excited because we've got a new blogger who's joined the team, and she is a Paralympic rider called Natasha Baker. We're really hoping she's going to get selected. And so this is her first video diary for us, and she just basically introduces herself and explains a bit about Paralympic dressage and talks to you about her horses. So do watch that, find out all about Natasha, and then stay tuned to listen to her regular fortnightly updates.
Sounds good.
Yeah,
and
sure.
Then obviously, you know, check out horseandcountry.tv. What do you guys have this week?
Well, at the moment, we've got Rudo's Roundup from the Houghton International Horse Trials, which is one of the other big three-day events alongside Bramham that were quite key to selection. And there's lots of training advice and interviews and lots more, so do have a watch on that at horseandcountry.tv.
All right, check it out. Thank you so much, obviously, Victoria, for joining us every single week after week. I know you missed last week, but that's okay. I wasn't here, so I was over there watching Horse and Country TV in Europe.
Last week I was hanging out with Her Majesty the Queen along with about a million other people. So
yeah.
That was my excuse. We were trailing around London trying to find the Queen, and we saw her in her car,
And then we tried to go around to film her during the carriage procession and couldn't get near. So that's the glamour of TV, battling through tourists with a camera and the presenter. And
oh my
we
God,
couldn't get near.
You were totally royal paparazzi.
That's
we were, who you were.
Indeed. Yes, indeed. But we wanted to look at the horses. We're far more interested in her equines than her, you know, the fashion or what Kate Middleton was wearing or what everybody else cared about. But we wanted to see some horses, and we were denied. It was terrible.
Didn't Kate Middleton look absolutely beautiful? She is such a stunner. I love her.
Oh, she take up an equestrian sport. That would get us some headlines. She doesn't have much.
She's allergic to horses.
Oh, that's not handy.
No, she is.
Well, you know, she's marrying a polo player. Well, she's married a polo player, so I think she should take some antihistamines and get training. We want her
exactly.
For Rio 2016.
They have shots for that.
Don't hold your breath for that, Victoria. Don't hold your breath for that.
All right, Victoria, thank you very much. We will talk to you next week. Have a great one.
My pleasure. Have a great week.
All right, you too. Bye.
Bye.
It's always interesting when we, you know, when us Americans talk about what's going on over there and the, you know, what you were talking about with the Queen and everything. The people that live there have a little different perspective, don't they?
I guess so. I mean, again, I knew that there. I was definitely feeling the love of the Queen because it was the Diamond Jubilee. And like she said, the BBC and CNN, that's all they were covering was, you know, how wonderful everything is. They're not going to bag on her during this big celebration. And but you're right. Like, to sit here and be like, oh, my God, everybody loves her. And she's like, maybe they love her this week. Not so much.
Well, you know, and everybody does, you know, it's just like the president over here. When he travels and he comes to your city, everybody hates him because he ties up traffic. It's probably the same way when the Queen goes out. It's like, oh, man, traffic tied up for half of the day in London. Well, that's great. I'm so glad she gets to continue to join us, and we'll be talking to her a lot more as we go through time here and get closer and closer to the Olympics. And we do appreciate Horse and Country being part of that. Now, what town am I supposed to go visit that I will absolutely love?
Okay, you have to put this on your bucket list. I don't think that I've ever been to such a magical place as this place called Sintra, Portugal. Sintra, Portugal. Jen, I sent you a picture of one of the castles. There's, I think, 6 or 7 palaces/castles in this town of Sintra, Portugal. And we went to Tomar, Portugal, which is kind of more north of Lisbon. And Tomar, Portugal has this castle that is to die. It took us, we were inside this castle for almost 3 hours. That's how huge this place was. And we're talking about Tomar. This was where Henry the Navigator lived, this castle. Henry the Navigator lived there. The Knights Templar was there before they were all beheaded. So this castle had tons of history and was huge. This castle had nothing on Sintra, Portugal, and the palaces and castles that were there. So if you Google it and just hit images, you will just not believe what you see. So the first place that we went was the picture that I posted before, which is the castle. It's a palace, actually, and it was all these different colors. And the queen lived there for many, many years. All the royal family in Portugal lived there. The Queen of Spain lived there for years and years. So very beautiful, dramatic, palatial estate. And that's the thing about these castles is they are not just a palace. There's surrounding grounds that are all around these places. They're like big estates, and there's things even to see in the, like, in their yard. One of the places that we went was this castle that was made by this, and I guess it started to be built in the 1600s, but in the 1800s, there was a kind of a crazy guy that decided that he was going to fix up this place and make it into this grand, exciting whole palace and estate. And so he really redid every part of the castle and the grounds.
Now, he built, Glenn, in this castle, he built a waterfall. And all these places are on the top of a hill, so you have to walk uphill all the time. It's constant uphill walking. But there was a waterfall that was at the top of this estate, I guess, and the castle was on one part of it. And you walk, if you're staring at the waterfall, you realize there's some rocks that go through the water, and they're just about foot-like steps apart. So we climbed down, and we walked across these rocks that are going through this river of waterfall, and there's a tunnel that is behind the waterfall. He had dug 300 yards of tunnels underground in his palace and estate for you to basically sneak from one part of the castle to the other. We went underneath the waterfall and ended up at the bottom of the well, which then had a secret spiral staircase that went around it to the top. This castle and place was amazing. We went to a place called the Moors Castle, which was built by the Moors in like 600 BC, and it almost looked like you were walking on the Great Wall of China. Most of it has fallen apart. They're re-renovating it and making it nice again, I guess, but it's ruins. And when we were trying to buy our tickets to get in, they were like, you realize that this is ruins, right? It's not like a castle. And we're like, no, it's great. That's what we wanted to see. It's ruins at the top of a mountain, at the highest point of a mountain. Clouds were going through this place. It was absolutely incredible. And there was just palace and castle and palace. And you would walk to each of these castles in this town called Central Portugal. And then, of course, like the downtown area was very touristy. And no American tourists. I've never heard of this place ever. I just found out about it from our friends that live in Tomar, that you have to go to this place if you're in Portugal. So put that on your bucket list, Glenn. Have you Googled it
yet?
All
right, I just saved it. Yeah, I Googled it. I've been sitting here looking at pictures the whole time. I could live, and you're right. Talk about views. You're above everything else. I mean, everything else. You must have driven up some hills to get there.
It's all uphill. The entire thing is uphill. And then you get to the castle, and then the gates are at the bottom. And then you have to walk up the hill to get to the gates. But just the absolute, you can see if you Google image the spiral staircase,
yeah,
that's through the well, that when you go down to the bottom, there's a tunnel. And we were taking pictures, like if we were, you know, bow and arrow, you know, like through the turrets of the castle. I mean, this place was set to kill. Like, these places were heavily defended. Being at the top of the hill with these big, tall walls, you wonder how, number one, how did they build these places? This was built in, like, 600 B.C. They didn't have any sort of, like, rock cranes like that. It just was crazy. We ended up renting a car and driving around most of these places. But when you get into Sintra, you can pay, like 5 euro. And there's a bus system that takes you from castle to castle. So it was easy to get around. It was, you know, we did 2 a day, basically, because they're so big and so ornate, and the expanses are so huge and epic, you know, that you just emotionally could not take in more than 2 a day.
Cool. These look fantastic and more colorful than I thought they would be.
Yeah, the eccentric kind of royal palace is, it's pink and blue and yellow outside. It's just colors that you would never think of to be, like, tiled in the 1600s. You just would not think that they did that. But the Peña Palace in Sintra was spectacular. The Moors Castle was amazing. I think that was our favorite because we were, like, the only ones there and so we felt like explorers, you know?
And, of course, there was you didn't get to sample, I'm sure, any of the wine of Spain and Portugal.
You know, I got to tell you the honest truth about the cuisine. In Spain, I basically consumed gazpacho and wine the entire time, or sangria, really. Gazpacho and sangria, which is gazpacho is the Spanish cold tomato soup. It was delicious. That and sangria. When I got to Portugal, I was screwed. The food in Portugal is meat, like fish and potatoes,
Yeah, I was going to say, it's all... Yeah.
Yeah. They don't serve beef either. It's just pork or fish. And Chad said, he was in heaven, but he put on 10 pounds because they eat bread and they eat potatoes and then they eat the pork. That's like their diet. So I was lucky enough in Tamar to find an Italian restaurant, and I ate there every day, twice a day.
Zucchini for you.
They're like, what would you like? I'm like, I'll have the spaghetti, pomodoro, please. And then the next time they're like, what would you like? I'm like, a dinner. I'm like, I'll try the penne this time. And then the next day for lunch, you know what? I'll go with the spaghetti again. Dinner, I'm like, can I have a small pizza?
I thought about you traveling to some of those countries in Europe, and even if you're going into the Far East, you know, some of the countries almost anywhere you go are going to be tough for you to travel to. Texas. It'd be tough for you to travel to.
You know, I did one place in Portugal when we were in Sintra. There was just no place to eat. There's nothing. These people, it is such a meat-filled culture. But I did see on the menu, and thank God this woman spoke a wee bit of English, because I saw on it was like espinaca and tomate. So spinach, tomatoes, and rice is what I could come up with on their menu. Of course, it was spinach with fish and then rice with pork. I just said, can you just please just give me a plate and just put the spinach and the rice and the tomatoes on a plate? The chef had to come out and ask me if that was for real. They came out and they're like, what about the pork? I'm like, no carne, nada. Nada, no carne. And they're like, pez? I'm like, no fish, no pez. Todo arroz, espinaca y tomato? What? I'm like, yes. Just put the freaking food on the plate and bring it out here. And I did, and it was one of my most favorite meals. But they were like, they thought I was a little bit crazy.
I guess they don't run into many vegetarians over there, huh?
Not in Portugal, no. Definitely not. It was pretty awesome, though. It was a great trip, and you know, I can't say enough about the riding portion of it, and then traveling around with my husband and experiencing these different cultures. And we drove from Spain to Portugal. So you're driving along, and there's like on the freeway. Here we have, you know, when we're driving through America, you've got a mini mall here, and then an Old Navy, and then another mall, you know, or a Bed Bath and Beyond. And there it's like, oh, there's a castle. Oh, just another castle on this exit. Oh, there's a castle on that exit. Oh, an estate. It was just awesome. Just the culture is so different, and I just recommend everybody should definitely go sometime in their life.
Well, terrific. It's good to have you back, Jamie. And it was so nice today. You did all the talking. I didn't do anything. I just sit here. It's nice.
Enjoy. I'm not talking Great. Tomorrow. It's all you.
Well, we'll be back again tomorrow. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening. You're listening to Horses in the Morning today. It was brought to you by OmegaAlphaEquine.com. And Jennifer has a whole bunch of cool guests lined up. And you have some interviews that we're going to play this week, right? Tell us a little bit about that before we go.
Yeah, I got to, obviously, I sat down with Vivi, who is a Grand Prix dressage trainer. And I just wanted to know, first of all, to talk to her about her place, but also I wanted to know how to teach flying lead changes. So she sat down and told me the secrets of teaching flying lead changes. So I will be practicing that with Jet a little bit later, poor horse. And then I did get to sit down with Rafael Soto, who won the silver medal in the Olympics and for Spain riding an Andalusian stallion. And I got to meet the stallion, and I got to get a picture with him. And it was just an amazing experience. And I talked to him about what it was like to stand up there and win that medal. And he talked about his father being, you know, his father was his riding instructor growing up. And just the whole interview with Soto was just incredible. So we're going to play that this week, and hope you guys enjoy. Thank you for listening. I hope you didn't crack the whip, so I must not have been too terribly boring. So thank you for that.
No, it wasn't bad. You did good. It wasn't bad. You controlled yourself.
Hey, what are we going to
say now?
So I'll
have another?
I don't know, dude.
Say, Nooner and Gel?